Shalom, today's Daf Yomi is Nida Daf Chafav, Nida 26. And in today's Daf Yomi in the Mishnah on Chafav Amud Aleph, in the middle, our Mishnah discusses a woman who expels from her body the shilya, which is typically the afterbirth. So do we have to be concerned under these circumstances that since she expelled from her body a shilya, that's an indication that she also had a baby inside of her, which has also been delivered, and so therefore she is going, we have to be concerned that a live human was delivered or a human was delivered, and therefore she's going to be tameya, or the house is going to be ritually impure from having come in contact with a dead body. So it says our Mishnah, shilya b'bayis, if there is this shilya, which is this afterbirth, which is like a sack, which the fetus is inside of it, and this woman expelled it from her body, but we don't recognize that there was a fetus there. So still, according to the Tanakhama of our Mishnah, habayis tamei, that we're going to say that the house itself is going to be considered to be ritually impure, because as would be the law if it was a dead body in the house. Losha shilya v'la, not that that this afterbirth itself is considered a fetus, elosha ain shilya v'la. The Mishnah establishes the principle, the Tanakhama says that there is no shilya, there's no afterbirth unless there was a birth also. And so therefore we have to say that probably it just the baby itself disintegrated, and so therefore we didn't see it, but nevertheless it was there, and therefore the whole house is going to be tamei. Whereas Rabbi Shimon says no, nimo kavlad. Rabbi Shimon is going to be of the position that it's possible that the fetus disintegrated when it was in the womb, actually, even before the placenta or even before the afterbirth exited from the womb, we're going to say that the fetus disintegrated, and so therefore it's not necessarily the case that it was expelled from the body, and the house will not be tamei. So the Gemara discusses this by citing a braisa, Tana Rabbanan Shilya, this afterbirth, Tchilasa. The Gemara describes it that it is initially narrow. Domo chutcho arav, it's similar to one of the threads of the woof, the sofa, and on the other side, doma ktormus, it looks like a tormus, which is a type of legume, it's a type of pea or something like a lentil, and the chalul katzotzeres, and it is also going to resemble in the cavity like a trumpet. Ve'ein shilya p'chusa mitefach, and no shilya is less than a tefach, which is a hand breath. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, shilya doma l'kurkavan shel tarnagolin. The shilya is similar to the gizzard of a rooster, shadak and yotzemi mena, because it has the intestines coming out from it, but until it reaches that size, it's not going to be considered to be tamei. So since we mentioned that a shilya is generally speaking that there's no shilya less than the size of a tefach, the Mishnah tells us that there are other, the Gemara tells us that by a braisa, that there are other areas where the term a tefach, a hand breath, appears. So Tanya Rabbi Ushaya Zira de Mechavraya, and he was, Rabbi Ushaya was the youngest one of the yeshiva, and he says Chamisha Shiur and Tefach. This principle of a tefach appears really in five different places. Ve'eluhain Shilya, this afterbirth which we just spoke about, the shofar, which we blow on Rosh Hashanah, the shidra, the spine, and that refers to the spine of the lulav, dofen sukkah, the wall of the sukkah, v'ha ezov, and the hisab. And so we'll go, the Gemara goes over them now. Shilya hadamra, we spoke about the shilya, that it needs to be a tefach in order for it to be considered a shilya, to assume that there was a fetus that came out from the womb and the house is tamei. Shofar, what's the case of the shofar? Detanya kamaye shiur shofar. How do we know? What is the size of the shofar? So Rabbi Shimon Gamliel taught, kadesha yochazenu biyado, enough for you to hold it in your hand with four fingers, viyera elakan alakan, and you'll see on either side of it parts of the shofar. And that's how we know it's a tefach, because the size of a tefach is generally speaking four thumbs. And when you hold the shofar with four straight fingers, and then you see on either side, that's equivalent to four thumbs, and that's how you know it's a tefach. Shidra mahi, how do we know what is the size of the spine? Damar Rabbi Parnacham Rabbi Yochanan, Shidrul Shaluav, what is the length of the Luav? Tzarach Shia Yotze Minei Adaz Tefach. It needs to go out from the size of the myrtle a tefach, meaning to say that the spine of the luav needs that from which the luav's leaves go out needs to be higher than the adasim of tefach, and so therefore we see from here that that is an important size of tefach that appears under those circumstances. What's the fourth case? Dofen sukkah, the wall of a sukkah. The Tanya we learned in a brisa, shtayim kelchasan. A sukkah is required to have two full walls, which means to say seven tefachim long, and each one, and then in addition to that it also needs a third wall, but the shlishis afilu tefach, the third wall can even just be one tefach. That is the fourth place in which a tefach appears. And then the fifth place in which the Gemara discusses the tefach appearing is about a hyssop, azov, which the Torah says a hyssop appears three times in the Torah, once with respect to a mitzora, a leper, once with respect to the paraduma, and once with respect to the sprinkling on of the ashes of the red heifer. So we see from here that the size in all those cases of the hyssop, Tani Rabbi Chia, is Azov is a tefach. A tefach is the hand breath that appears five specific places where it appears prominently in halacha.